This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Good morning. Welcome to Open for Business. This is Audrey Raj. On the show today, I'm going to be speaking to the team who introduced teh tarik, nasi lemak, curry puffs and Milo dinosaur to the drive-through concept here in Malaysia. The Kejap Food business model is simple. They partner with petrol stations to set up drive-through outlets that serve local favorites. And they started the business back in 2020, smack during the pandemic, but have two branches now serving Malaysians on the go in Setiawangsa, Kuala Lumpur and on the Federal Highway near Shah Alam. And to tell us more about their novel concept, I have online with me today Betty Ting, the founder and CEO of Kejap Food, as well as Chief Marketing Officer Edison Seat. Guys, welcome to Open for Business.
Hi, Audrey. Hi, thanks for having us.
Hi, Audrey. Thanks for having us.
All right, so just to get started, how did you guys get into the drive-through business? You know, where did this idea come from? Betty, your background is in architecture and construction. You worked with the developer just before this. How did you find yourself in F&B?
Yeah, back then I was working with developers as a township planner, 9-to-5 job. So it's always been rushing for me to like get onto the works, and I'm a very lazy person. I lazy to park and I lazy to cook my breakfast. So it's always resorting to drive-through, and the drive-through available in Malaysia, right, is mostly Western food. So that is how I get the ideas. I think with more comfort food offering for the drive-through, I think this is a sustainable business ideas. And I quit my job 2 years back. Then I bring the ideas to participate in the startup competitions called Drink Factories. And things got really serious. So I bring the idea to present to all the mentors and judges. And then I got the feedback. I do out my pitch deck. And we got into the demo days. And we got into the finals, top 10 finalists. And yeah, that is how I started.
So this whole idea of serving local food via drive-through came from a competition. Did you get any funds from this competition in order to kickstart the business?
Actually, before we can able to enter into the competition, right, the first sessions is actually a crowdfunding of 8,800 ringgit from friends and family. That is the first challenge that we have to take it last. So we managed to do that in 1 day, and the period is actually 1 month. Then me and my team members, right, actually went extra mile. We crowdfunded 55,000 for this competitions, and the rest of the funding, right, is actually come to our company startup fund. And this startup competition, right, is really good because they have these 21 courses about basic knowledge of starting out a business from scratch, like doing our business canvas, knowing your proposition, doing your pitch deck, and how to manage your company shares, etc. So in these 2 months' time, we have rounds and rounds of pitching to different mentors and businessmen. And I remember I amended my pitch deck like 30 over times during the 2 months' time. So finally, the demo day was on 6th of June 2020. And I think that is where I accelerate my journey as an entrepreneur, where I almost got equipped by every aspect I need to know within the 2 months' time. So yeah, that is the beginning of our journey lah.
Okay. Now, we'll come back to, you know, your journey as an entrepreneur in just a bit. But I just want to talk about drive-through and local food, you know, that combination. You know, drive-throughs are cool, you know, but we're so used to fast food via drive-throughs. And nasi lemak isn't exactly fast food, is it? So what kind of market research did you guys do before embarking on serving local foods via drive-through?
So yeah, I mean, a good question is like, you know, like you say, it's like how nasi lemak can be like packaging at the fast food, right? So the same thing as we look into the store on the roadside, so they have all these nasi lemak prepared in advance, and it's like they sell it over the counter, right? So, but like for us, it's like how kejap come over is actually we try to the ultimate goal is actually to combine culture and convenience. So yeah, like you say, drive-through, interesting aspect, right? So like Betty, she's like trying to bridge the gap. Like, you know, it's like doesn't want to get out of the car, but still want to get the local staple food. So the market research, back to the market research you were talking about earlier. So yeah, we did take Betty concept and put it into a research. So we did come back with the result. There are top three Malaysian most preferred food is actually a Malay cuisine, and then followed by Mama. And also followed by Thai food, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
Yes, exactly. So hence, it's like and then we also try to see the drive-through concept. Is it viable? So I mean, we did look up to the most established establishment, which is McDonald's. So I mean, the report came back is like 50% of their sales in 2020 is actually come from drive-through. So in America, however, so that the drive-through window bring them 70% of their sales. So yeah, I mean, concept wise, I mean, this has been like proven. So there is a big demand for drive-through, I mean, mainly for the convenience. And also is like in Malaysia, of course, we love our staple food. You're right. So Audrey, I believe you went overseas before. I mean, you're all excited about a new food for a couple of days. And third day, you were craving for the roti canai, nasi lemak, and a curry, right? So
that
yes, I mean, yeah. I mean, when we first started this, it's like we did like brainstorm. And because it's like, you know, should we go for trendy food or should we go for local staples? So, I mean, it's like trendy, maybe it could last for a short period of time, good couple of 3 years, maybe we're bringing something new. But staple food is kind of like a classic. It's like it goes all the way, isn't it? So, yeah. So
okay. How do you prepare your food or who prepares them? Do you work with local F&B partners to supply food to your drive-through outlets, or do you have a centralized kitchen somewhere supplying the food to your outlets?
Initially, it's like we do have the idea of like what you say. It's like, you know, we work with a local vendor. They provide the food to us. But I mean, consider the aspect of the hygiene purpose, and also it's like certification wise, I mean, we need to done it through a proper channel. So we did start with the catering format first, but however, we thought it's like that is least feasible, I mean, in terms of like the financial side, and also it's like to maintain the quality of the food. So hence is that we moved the production into our first outlet. We produce our own food. I mean, with the help of our chef friends, and it's like, you know, to kickstart everything. Yeah. So up until now, we are still producing our food in our first outlet, and happy to say that we just recently got our halal certification for the first outlet. So great. I mean, yeah, which is great because this is very important for us as well, as we are serving and pride ourselves. It's like, you know, serving the Malaysian food to all Malaysians. So we have to cover all aspects of it.
Okay. I want to talk about the drive-through setup itself. You know, it's either you refurbish a car wash or you work with shipping containers, right?
Okay. It is actually the original ideas is always being containers, or we are cycling the 40 by 8 feet container, shipping containers, and then we turn it into our kitchens and we just do drive-through and takeaway. So happens our first outlet is in Caltex Setia Wangsa. They have a existing car wash which is not occupied. So we also have this idea of refurbish this existing car wash, which actually lower down our capex by slightly because it's a ready building. So we do like, I mean, along the journey, we also work with designer how to really use the existing conditions, like do a little bit of touch up, and it transform into our drive through. So one very interesting part is the tiles of the existing car wash, which is a very run down white ceramic tiles, but then we just paint it over with the red color paintings, and it becomes a very prominent brand statement. So it's been carried through to our container as well. So if you visited our drive-through, you can always see these big care logos on our either building wall or existing wall.
Okay. Yeah. Now, were there regulation barriers to making this business model work at the beginning? You know, were you guys the first to repurpose a car wash or use containers to offer the drive-through concept? What kind of approvals did you have to get in order to make this happen?
Yeah, so this is a more fussy part of it, lah, because oftenly people are opening an F&B outlet is either go to shop lots or kiosks or shopping mall. You just need to deal with the mall management and all. But then this one, we are actually setting out a new building in the petrol station, especially for the containers format, lah. So we have to go through the planning departments and building departments where it often take out like 3 months, sometimes to 6 months time for just the authority approvals. So that is the effort we put in, because we believe that with this kind of setup and with this kind of location, is somehow it's the values of Kerja Food, is how we are different with the rest of the F&B. Yeah.
Right, we are going to take a quick break for some messages. But when we come back, we talk about Kawan Food's investment in Kejap Food and how that's going to speed up the startup's growth trajectory. All that and more happening on Open for Business. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Beautiful festive moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Thanks for sticking with us. You are listening to Open for Business. This is Audrey Raj. Online with me today, I have Betty Ting and Edison Seat from local food drive-through startup Kejap Foods. So you drive up, you scan the QR for an online menu, and then you order, correct? You know, is the Kejap Food experience any different from your regular fast food drive-through?
Yeah, the experience is pretty much same as the regular fast food counter, the drive-through counter. So QR is one of the options. Another option is I can order through the cashier counter and then can do the payment at the same one, and we'll move on to the pickup counter as they finish. So we are also seeing a bit of an inefficiency over here, but the team is working on coming up with a better solution for that as well.
I also want to talk about price points. So one a la carte nasi lemak is $4.50. Cold Milo is RM6 per cup. 8 pieces of keropok leko with 2 curry puff is about just under RM12. Now, these prices are slightly higher than what we are used to at our regular gerai or stall set up by the kaki jalan, right? So who is your target market, and why do you think people would spend that little extra for Kejap, convenience aside?
Wow, that's a very good question. I was going to answer convenient. That's our USP right there. yes, I mean, we do understand it's like the price point is not exactly competitive as the gerai, Majid saw. But it's definitely a value for the money because it's everything is produced fresh and it's well kept. So on another aspect, like I emphasize, like a lot of compliances we have to met. I mean, to brand ourselves as a fast food chain. So hygiene, trained staff, and also qualified staff, these are all taken up a big part of the model as well. So I believe the quality do reflect the price point that we set.
Right. Yeah. So, and the response to your drive-through so far, you know, how have Malaysians received Kejap Food?
When we first started, I think is a little bit underwhelmed initially. I mean, that one was at our first outlet in Caltex Tiawangsa. When we first started, it's like we were expecting like a big hit, is that everybody is coming in. But maybe due to the location, and I think at that time we didn't put a lot of effort into the marketing, like shout out, hey, we're here, we're opening something new. and people sort of like didn't catch on at first. And it is a little bit underwhelmed, but we did really, really good on the second outlet. So, I mean, we blast out, we have like some influencer to help us out, and then it's like, it does attract a lot of crowd. I mean, it's like, we have to apologize for the community in Sha Alam. We created a bit of a traffic jam. If you, I mean, it's something that we're happy, but how to say, but yeah, still apologetic about the situation, causing about like 500 meters of jam over there. With that response, this is like give us more confidence that this concept really works and Malaysian really need this, and we are also doing our very best to represent our Malaysian food in the industry, and also hopefully it's like one day we can export this to the country near us as well, or maybe international scene as well. Why not?
Yeah. Now at the top of the show, Betty, you mentioned that you guys got funds as soon as you started, or even before you properly started. You've had a good run with obtaining funds to start and grow the business. So talk to us about the equity crowdfunding that helped you raise funds in its early days, and how you used and managed that money.
So our first outlet, actually, we gotten funds from the angel investor. It's all our friends and families. As soon as we set out the first outlets, we realized the money is like draining, like almost finished. So we quickly get to contact to this MyStarted, one of the equity crowdfunding platform. And then I just told them off, and I need to really, I want to get fund quickly. So because this organizer is also the same organizer of the Dream Factory, so we know each other. They also like, they know our project since the very beginning. So it's very fast that they already know our business models, our proposition. So we get into the crowdfunding platform really fast. It's like, I think 2 weeks time.
Mm.
And then...
And how much did you raise?
500,000. And we wanted to get more, but then because our company is less than 1 year, so we don't have the audit accounts, that is the maximum amount we can get on a crowdfunding platform. Yeah.
Wow. So you wanted the money quick, and you got quite a bit quite quick too.
Quite quick. Yeah, we finished the entire fundraising process in 1 month time, and properly another 2 weeks time for all the processings, and we got the funding. And then we wanted to set up our second outlets really fast, but then we got delayed by the COVID situations. Mm. The authority was closed, and then we only able to set up the second outlet after a year, exactly 1 year, 10th of October 2021. So that's our second outlet, yeah.
Okay. Now, you also recently received an investment from Kawan Food in exchange for a hefty stake in Kejap Food. So how much of Kejap do you guys still effectively own? What's the owner composition now that Kawan Food has come in with? What was it? 32.5% stake?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, investing with the 32.5% stake. So me, us as a team and our families and friends still are the majority shareholders. But then, we see this as a good synergy between both parties, and they really have good resources to assist and help us in our business expansions also.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So how else do you see the Kawan Food partnership enhancing your offerings at Kejap Food?
Well, we are planning to work together on the food offering of Kejap Food, together with our chef and all. And of course, we are going to develop more of a local cuisine type of offerings, because Kawan Food has a different range of offering, including I think Mediterranean as well. So that is really something exciting to move forward to. Yeah.
So, Betty, earlier you mentioned how, starting this business during the pandemic, kind of delayed certain things like regulatory approvals and things like that. And I'm sure there's been non-pandemic related challenges along the way as well. I know that Edison, your CMO, who's online with us today, as well as Steve, your COO, they weren't your initial partners in the business. The original team dissolved, right? So what happened there and what were your key learnings in building and working with your management team?
I think at different stage of the business, also we need to work with different kind of peoples, and whether there's chemistry in between us, also there are different situations need to juggle, because everyone has got their financials, commitments and all, but we all know that startup, we need to really like strike through with very minimal salary and all. So I think at some point of time, we realized that it's good to like go into different. I mean, we have different directions. That is how we want to manage this relationship and all. But then we are cool because we all doing it for the good of the companies, lah. So right. I think we are all friends. Even Edison and our first round of the partners are all friends. We sit down and discuss whether how should we move on, and that is our decisions. Right. And I'm really grateful that Edison and Steve join us at a point it's very difficult time, and yeah. They are really willing to like fight through with very minimal salary. So
what was going on when you jumped in, Edison?
Oh, no, I mean, it's like every time it's like when we talk about this part, it's like, no, it's always going to be a little bit emotional when we talked about it. Yeah, it is definitely a tough journey, but this is what built the team. It's like, everyone understand each other. It's like, at different point, it's like everyone has different commitment over here. So it's really awesome. It's like, how the entire team, they can, put aside their own issues, just focus on the business. And drive through this business is like with full passion. Yeah. So I think it's a belief that actually keep us together. So without a doubt, I think we're happy with what Kajab has accomplished now, and also is like what we will be accomplished in the very near future.
Right. Yeah. So I understand as a new age F&B startup, you are also championing sustainability in your own way. You want to talk to us about your packaging and, what Kajab Food is doing in order to reach your sustainability goals?
Yeah, actually, it is something I wanted to do from the beginning. I wish Kajab Food can be someone who is able to cultivate the cultures of bring your own containers to Dapao, because I always feel guilty of seeing a lot of packaging after it eats and it's all rubbish. So I'm a person who always bring tiffin to go takeaways, and I think it's a very easy thing to do, but then it's just that nobody is used to it. So this environmental sustainability part has been presented in an earlier stage during my startup competition, but it has been bombarded by mentors and the businessmen saying it's not practical, it's not justifiable from a business point of view, because we are doing fast food. And if you doing things like that, it will slow down the whole process. But I always believe that when the business grows to a certain scale, and with this plan always in my mind, eventually, we are able to roll it out efficiently, effectively. Yeah. So at the end of the day, Kajab Food, I wish Kajab Food would be a brand with always associated with convenience and eco-friendly features.
So how far away are you from allowing your customers to actually bring their own containers?
We haven't launched that, actually.
You haven't?
Yeah, it would be in the plan of, properly mid of the years when we have more outlets rolling out. Right. So it's easier to like shout out for this kind of concept. Yeah.
So there are more outlets on the horizon. Anything that you can share with us?
Right. Yeah, in that aspect, I mean, we're really happy. It's like this is where Comfort come in. It's like, I mean, other than funding, it's like they also pump in the resources as well. So with the synergy and the effort that we're working together, so we're actually looking at about opening another like 4 drive-through within this year, and also set up our first dining restaurant, and also one central kitchen to supply to all outlets as well. So I mean that will be I would say it's like it will be somewhat challenging for our expansion plan this year, but we're very confident that we're able to do it. So there are several location has been confirmed. So I'll just leak out just one Petronas Technology Park in Bukit Jalil. So that will be our next stop. And the rest is already been confirmed, but we'll keep that a little secret right now. And then follow us on our social media, and you will find out really soon. So So for this year, we're still looking at Klang Valley region. So on next year onwards, we are looking to expanding into other major city in Malaysia. So such as from the southern and also the northern part. So
And the ultimate game is to take this international, right?
Exactly. So, I mean, that is the ultimate goal. Is that I would be very happy if that happens, like, you know, in the very near future. So, but for now, it's like we have to establish our foundation first, and we have to, like, you know, make sure that all the Malaysian in Malaysia itself has accepted the concept. Then it's like, you know, we explore into that territory, because like, that is quite a representation, isn't it, Audrey?
Yeah. All right. So before I let the both of you go, maybe you want to tell our listeners where they can find both your outlets and also where they can find you online on social media.
Okay, so all the listeners out there, you can actually come to our most convenient area, which is Caltex Setia Wangsa. If you're in Ampang region or KL, that would be very convenient to you. Next one is actually in Shah Alam Patron Miles 3. So if you need a landmark, Aeon Shah Alam is a landmark. And also, please do follow us on our Instagram page. It's at Kejap Food, and also our Facebook page at Kejap Food as well.
All right. And if you missed out on any part of this show, you can go look for the podcast on our website. That's bfm.my. You can also find all our podcasts on the BFM app that's available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. I've been speaking with Betty Ting and Edison Seat from Kejap Food. My name is Audrey Raj, and this has been Open for Business on Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Are you open for business? Register your company with bossbully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.